Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how you doing?
Doing great, Ken. Just trying to figure out whether this season's going to be a trick or a treat. I think that's something that you and I are going to try to work through today.
Now, one of the, it's been a cruel season right now in a set of games that they really need to win in the division, in particular against Cleveland, that has just already been lost, and Cincinnati on Thursday night coming up. Obviously, there's an important game in between against the Broncos, a conference game they've got to win, and the Ravens have a ton of injuries right now. They have injuries on the defensive line. They have injuries in the defensive backfield. They may have an injury at quarterback. We're still waiting on that one. That obviously would top everything else. And then, very importantly, they have some other positions which on defense are not working out at all right now. And we wanted to talk through this in relation to the greatest Ravens on the fly defensive rebuild of all time, which was happened in the 2019 season during Lamar's MVP season. So there are similarities. Maybe talk about, are all of these tools available to this Ravens team, or would it be a lot more difficult for this team to rebuild? But I think we'll give you some of the background first, and why don't you start us off, Slava?
Yeah, so in 2019, people might not remember that we actually started 2-2 after four games. That, of course, ended up being a phenomenal run that we went on shortly thereafter. But You know, starting out the season, we had Chris Board, Pinedo Wasso, and Kenny Young sort of splitting the inside linebacker snaps. Peanut was playing the Mike role, and just everybody was playing horribly in coverage. And it was, you know, the hype coming into the season, of course, you know, you'd be aware of your training camp darlings and everything, but the hype was just buzzing around all of these guys, in particular, Owosso and Young being two incredibly fast, if undersized, linebackers. I remember Mike Preston heaping praise upon them just with how quickly they were able to move. But of course, being able to move in training camp versus being able to move and cover and do all the things that you need to be doing as a linebacker in game time are two different things.
They've been, Owosso and Young in particular, had been platoon players along with Anthony Levine at the weak side linebacker spot in 2018. Of course, the Mike spot was held down by a very reliable player, C.J. Mosley, who had been lost to the Jets for a lot of money in 2019. So they started off with 2019. They had to figure out where they could go cheap. They tried it at the Mike spot with Owosso. Very quickly, they determined that wasn't working in terms of the signal calling duties that were heaped on him for starters. So they moved those signal calling duties. And that had a couple of stops to it. One stop with Tony Jefferson, who then got hurt, and eventually they landed on Chuck Clark, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. But it wasn't the only position where the Ravens were shorthanded in terms of what they had, in terms of talent or in terms of what was going on. The defensive line had tremendous problems. And obviously with the Ravens' current defensive line problems, this won't seem as bad. But Patrick Ricard was the fourth defensive lineman after the big three of Pierce, Williams, and Wormley. And that was despite having picked up a big workload on offense. So start that season, he was still playing a fair amount of defensive line. They had an additional nose tackle round who was active for one game, Daylon Mack. He might have been active for two, but he got hardly any playing time. He was the fifth defensive lineman on the roster. He went on IR early. They had Zach Sealer still around for the seventh round pick of the 2018 draft. Had got on the field finally a little bit, but they tried to cut him, and Miami picked him up, and the rest is history because Zach Sealer has been one hell of a player for them. So I think that probably goes back to Miami having scouted Sealer when he was at Ferris State and deciding that he was a guy that they really wanted, and he's been a great player for them. And then Brandon Williams missed a bunch of games pretty much scattered throughout the year, but every time Brandon Williams out, the run defense went to hell. He missed three games. His snap count was in decline on his contract at that point, which was a problem. But even with that, the Ravens, we'll get into some of the solutions for this, but the Ravens had ways around having fewer linemen because they had a lot of ways to use less than two defensive linemen per play. So we'll get to that in a bit. But Brandon Williams, Wormley, and Pierce had most of the snaps that year, and none of them were over, I think, 54% of snaps for the season. So even by comparison to what's just happened in this very last game against Cleveland, the situation was a lot better for these three guys.
And, of course, you know, the injury problems didn't stop there. We had problems in the secondary. Jimmy Smith was hurt in the first 10 snaps of week one, which kept him out until week nine, which is shockingly similar to the start of his career in 2011, where he was injured on a special teams play first week against an otherwise dominant performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he didn't return for quite a long time. And we were really counting on quality snaps from Jimmy Smith at that point. So that was a big problem. Tony Jefferson, who you mentioned before, briefly had the green dot. He was injured week five in the win versus Pittsburgh. I believe he was out for the rest of the season, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and then Chuck Clark, of course, replaced him. But Tony Jefferson, also a very popular player, you know, realized that he didn't have a place for his final season in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly, you know, you never want to say that an injury is lucky or anything like that, but we did luck out in the sense that Chuck Clark seemed to be a much more natural fit for the responsibilities that we needed for strong safety than what
Jefferson
Jefferson was providing us at that time. So that was, you know, one of those unfortunate kind of circumstances that ended up being nonetheless objectively addition by subtraction.
I had another one in the secondary. Anthony Averett actually started the year playing as a starting corner and got a lot of snaps. And actually, when I say that, I guess Smith started the year and Averett was involved in the first game. And that didn't work out. I mean, from a talent perspective, it really didn't work out. He was around for the first 4 weeks. He had some sort of a minor injury. He came back, and I think he was off and on with injuries for the rest of the year. But he played 101 snaps in the first two games, and he played only 120 the whole rest of the year. Anthony Averett would become a better player later on, but wasn't good enough to be a regular cornerback on this 2019 team.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely just a sort of a cascading set of issues that the Ravens really, it was amazing how quickly they were able to turn things around with just a couple of well-timed and well-assessed additions to the squad. So absolutely just something that's sort of where we draw, I think, the comparison to 2019 to 2024, in the hopes that we, you know, looking back on this recent history, we may be able to evaluate and acquire the proper talent to take this defense to even at least, you know, I think you would agree, even if we got to something approaching league average, it would mean everything to this team.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I hope they'd be fine if that were the case. Now we got to have this Jackson injury be not particularly serious or time consuming, but yes, I think they'd be fine if that were the case. So let's talk about how they solve some of these problems, because if you look back at this, it was an unbelievable job by DaCosta to find the talent to fill the rooms that were there. I think it was also an unbelievable job by Martindale to incorporate them into the system and get the most out of a group. And the Ravens defense ended up being very good in 2019. But let's start with the inside linebacker position, where we've already gone over the three guys. It's Peanut, it's Kenny Young, and it's Chris Board. And they essentially flushed the toilet on that group. Peanut was moved back to a responsibility where he only played as a platoon weak side linebacker again, where he had been good before. Kenny Young was, they held on to him for a while. He got less snaps, and then he finally famously tossed his ice cream cone on the floor and after learning of his trade news for Marcus Peters.
Certainly a good trade for us. So I think it's a good thing to point out that Peanut, as you said, he did have success previously next to CJ Mosley in that weak side linebacker position. And immediately upon signing Josh Bynes and LJ Fort, I believe they were signed together basically at the same time, they immediately stabilized that position. And, you know, Peanut should still be given credit for continuing to perform well sort of in that weak side linebacker position on early downs. And continuing in that role, but Bynes, I mean, it was really incredible to see a player at that stage in his career, many, many years into his NFL career, definitely no longer a particularly fast guy, but a guy who had great instincts, could move to the ball, could play fast, and you could see throughout the entire rest of the season, he was an elite communicator. He was constantly getting Peanut into position, you know, making sure that everybody around him were exactly where they needed to see, pointing things out. He basically infused just elite communication into the front seven of the defense.
You know, one thing that's funny about it is Bynes came here as a guy who was going to stop the run on early downs and play a two down mic role. And they weren't even going to give him the green dot, even though he had the green dot in Baltimore for one game in 2012 when Ray Lewis was injured. So it's not like it would have been the first time. And he completely delivered on the value as a run defender they expected to get. Ended up playing 428 snaps in Baltimore starting at week five. But the incredible thing is his coverage numbers. Now, he was targeted, let's get this right here, 18 times on the year with 12 receptions, which isn't too bad for a linebacker, by the way. Zero TDs, two interceptions. Quarterback rating against him was 46.1.
Incredible.
It's just incredible. And that's really where he was far above expectation. And they still took him out of the game on third down. So it wasn't like, that was special. But he had his two interceptions. One of them was against Houston, against Watson. Another one was going, I think, towards the right sideline against the Steelers, where he just played an overthrow perfectly. I mean, it was like he was a safety doing it. In fact, the closest example I could probably give you is Hamilton's missed interception this last week, which is really a great ball tracking feat. That's the kind of interception that Bynes had in it for his other one. I think it was against the Steelers and might have been in week five because he got it right away. I got to check that. Maybe I may have that information in front of me here. But it was in week five against the Steelers. Just a really fine play from him. I've always since, posited that Bynes would be the new Kaiser Soze for any underperforming inside linebacker, that a defensive coach can go to him and say, look, all I have to do is pick up that phone over there and I can call Josh Bynes and have him here tomorrow because he wants to play.
That's right.
The Ravens did, in fact, call Josh Bynes back one more time to bring him back to help try and bail out the defense a couple of years later.
Yeah, just an incredibly intelligent player who was – so good at reading defenses that when he was well past his athletic prime, he was really able to play quite fast. And of course they picked up LJ Fort, who had been released by the Eagles and I remember him in particular for just being a pretty good solid coverage linebacker.
Yes.
So really the weakness, the major weakness of the Ravens, which was the coverage, by the linebacking core, suddenly had become a strength, not just stabilized, but had become a strength. You really couldn't pass over the middle. And if you did so, it was at your own peril.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the kind of transformation you just can't believe occurs. Now Martindale had a reputation as being, I'm an all out blitz guy and this and that. And it's left the team completely paralyzed in terms of their cover zero situations. It's really just not an accurate reflection of who Martindale was. Martindale actually quite adaptable in terms of whether he blitzed a lot. He did have a bias towards pressure. I think actually it makes a lot of sense because I think pressure creates variance. I think defense needs variance. So I think there are a lot of reasons why it was, but it does tend to lead to big plays, which is exactly what variance is. You give up more big plays and you also get more big plays. That 2018 Ravens, that's how they did it very well. The other big move they made was moving Chuck Clark into that weak side role. That 2019 team, after not really doing so much the first 2 weeks, a little, but not too much, ended up playing 44% dime for the regular season. So they not only do they flush the toilet on those inside linebackers, the guys they brought in, they were having Fort oftentimes being the only guy left on the field on a passing down. Clark. Yeah. And Clark had the greatest year for a Ravens dime that season. I keep track of this as it's grown up, but it's Corey Harris in 2000, Chad Williams in 2004, Anthony Levine in 2018, and then turning right around was Clark in 2019, having just a fabulous year.
Yeah. Chuck Clark, definitely smart, instinctive, physical player, really everything that you would look for at the safety position, at the strong safety position anyhow, and really, was an upgrade over Jefferson, which is why Jefferson didn't, as you say, have a place on the team after that season.
Tony, kind of a run fit guy, and I think he could have been an okay dime. He came back to the Ravens to try and pick up that dime role late in his career. It didn't really work out. In fact, he got cut, but Clark, good at the dime roll, good on the back end as well, in a split field role. Probably not the ideal free safety, but he was a good split field guy.
For sure. And then also in the secondary, of course, the other major acquisition, this is the one that gets all the attention, although I would say that Bynes and Fort was similarly magnitude of an addition for this particular team. But of course, the acquisition of Marcus Peters for Kenny Young in a fourth rounder, you know, basically just peanuts. And you know, he took off right away. I think it was week seven when he first played for us, had a pick six against Seattle at a time that Russell Wilson was making MVP noise and sort of ended his campaign right then and there.
Yeah, he had zero interceptions going into that game, and that was the first of the year. Marcus was an outrageously good player, had kind of the reputation as being burnt toast with his time played with the Rams that year. I actually looked it up because I'm looking at Tre'Davious White right now and seeing, you know, would he make any possible sense for the Ravens? Night and day difference in terms of what had happened. I mean, the passer rating against Marcus was still under 100 at that point. He had two interceptions, two TDs, and given up a fair number of yards per target, over nine, which, you know, that's not what you'd hope for. But he's Tre'Davious White is just he's circling the drain right now in terms of the end of his career. And I don't, it's a complete difference. So passer rating given up by White is over 140 this year, and he's given four touchdowns, no interceptions, a ton of yards per target, over 11. So for those of you thinking that he might be the answer, I don't think he is. In 252 snaps this year, and he's been a healthy scratch, I think, for three straight games, but 252 snaps, he's had five penalties already.
Well, the most important thing that Marcus Peters provided for us was a ball hawking dimension to the secondary, which wasn't there. I mean, Marlon Humphrey was a constant. He was healthy. He was playing excellent. You know, the Marlon Humphrey that we know, tight coverage, and made a lot of plays that year, forcing fumbles. But certainly Peters was the ball hawk of that defense. And you know, it's just lucky for us that the Rams were looking to acquire Jalen Ramsey, and they did, and that in their eyes made Marcus Peters expendable, and we certainly benefited from it.
One of the great revenge games ever out there in LA, with the Ravens beating them 45-6, Jackson having five touchdown passes and Marcus Peters having interception, which allowed him to go through some probably unfortunate post game antics with Ramsey about what had happened. But anyway, Marcus Williams, a hell of a Raven that year, who ended up being all pro one. A couple things on the defensive line happened to fix things, because they had you know, a number of injuries and some general shortage of talent there anyway, but they acquired two nose tackles at midseason. Damata Peko, who previously played for the Bengals for a lot of years, and Justin Ellis, Jelly Ellis, mm-hmm. Who filled out a really thin defensive line. And they didn't play that many total snaps, 197 between them, but they provided insurance, which allowed Ricard to focus on offense. And one of the big things that happened that year, more so certainly than this year, but really more so than almost any other year in Ravens history, though the one was lower. The Ravens only played 1.89 defensive linemen per snap for the season. So in order to do that, you have to play almost all nickel, and they still played some base this year, particularly in the Cleveland game in week four and then the San Francisco game later. But they also played a lot of race car. So they would, and we may see that, by the way, from the Ravens this week with their shortage of defensive linemen. We may see some four outside linebacker packages on the field to go after the quarterback, because I just, Matabike is not going to be able to hold up. They need him as much as they need him for passing. They don't have anybody else for run defense either. So they're going to need him on some earlier downs and to give him a break. I do not see a way they would enforce the kind of workload they did on him this last week. And it's unfortunate because he's very valuable as a pass rusher, but there's no way they can have him on the field for every down.
Yeah, they can't afford any more injuries. And they really need to be careful here. So I anticipate a lot of Tavius Robinson, a lot of Malik Harrison. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of everybody's going to have to step their conditioning up in this one, I think.
Yeah, they certainly, outside linebackers, the position they're heavy on. By the way, we didn't even mention the McPhee injury. Now, McPhee, you know, the Ravens had made a bunch of acquisitions, and then all of a sudden, Pernell McPhee got hurt.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. it can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And if you weren't around as a Ravens fan in 2019, the only thing I can say is Pernell McPhee, everybody knew it was a ticking time bomb at the time, how much they were asking him to play, because he came back. He'd been playing about 15 snaps, 20 snaps or something with the Redskins, I think, the year before. I think they were actually called the Redskins then. But then we came back to the Ravens, and, you know, the Ravens, you know, I would have thought 15 to 20 snaps would have been a reasonable expectation of a player like that. Well, he comes into training camp and he's the best Ravens run defender and he's the best pass rusher of the group. And so they wanted to have him on the field there all the time. And Martindale gave him workload. McPhee didn't, you know, was not objecting or anything. And through six games, he was playing some fantastic football. And then all of a sudden he gets hurt in the Seattle game. So even though they had all that great news coming back from the West Coast, they had to deal with this McPhee injury. They did have a good core of outside linebackers otherwise, because he still had Judon and Bowser there on the outside, who were both good pass coverage guys and decent rush guys, both of them. And then they had Jalen Ferguson, and they picked up Jihad Ward, who actually ended up being a pretty important player for them, a guy who kicked inside a lot, and so he augmented that defensive line as well. But pretty good player there for the Ravens to pick up at midseason as well.
Yeah, I seem to remember him being pretty explosive and a sure tackler, which was certainly something appreciated in a guy who was really a role player for this defense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very specific. And I guess we didn't really, I guess we did go through the safety situation. So Chuck Clark, took over the green dot. Jimmy Smith finally came back from his injury, and that's kind of stabilized the cornerback situation. By the way, that team had already just gotten done with the Tavon Young era. So Tavon had been signed to a multi-year. Actually, wait a minute. Let me think about this. In 2019, did he just miss the entire season? And then he came back to the Ravens in 2020. I'm trying to remember exactly. He might have actually gotten hurt very early on and just not played at all. But I'd have to look it up to really. But yeah, he did. He missed the entire season. He missed the entire season in 17 and 19. And then he's back in 20 and 21. But in 18, he'd been a really good player. And he had a couple fumble recoveries. He was just a good, solid playmaker. And people may remember in 2018, they had to go out on a short week to play that game against the Chargers in their crappy little soccer stadium on a Saturday in a game that was absolutely critical for them to make the playoffs, to then lose to the Chargers at home. But in that game, Tavon Young really had the big play with a touchdown, a fumble return for a touchdown to kind of put the game away late.
Yeah, losing him was not insignificant. We made him the highest paid nickel corner in the NFL. Yep. right before he was injured. So it was a pretty significant loss there. But you know, I think more or less what we're getting at here, Ken, is that the 2019 Ravens faced with a pretty significant set of issues on defense were able to very quickly, in a matter of weeks, turn this into a really, really underperforming group into one of the better groups in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. They finished fourth in DVOA. They certainly augmented the offense, provided some balance to the team. The offense was the best in team history at 3.08 points per drive. In terms of DVOA, they're a little lower than the current Ravens. But the current Ravens are like a 400 hitter in April. We don't know where they're going to end up, but it probably won't be quite as good as they've started the season so far.
So I think we could probably now talk about some of the differences and sort of the similarities between what the 2019 Ravens were going through and what the current Ravens are going through, what lessons or what things might translate from what we would imagine is a defensive rebuild. And actually, before we get into that specifically, I don't know about you, Ken, but I sort of view the signing of Deontay Johnson as sort of, more than anything else, sort of a bellwether that, you know, DaCosta thinks and the front office thinks highly enough of this team that they're going to try to make additions. You know, I thought it was very encouraging that they said, okay, well, we're going to bother to shore up the wide receiver depth. So obviously they're thinking we have a real shot this season. Not that that's a, you know, home run signing or anything, but we're going to continue to look at it and invest.
I think that's really the last thing you said is really the important thing. First of all, it's a secondary need at wide receiver. It's not a need where they have an immediate need like they do at safety or defensive line. Those two positions, they literally could lose these next few games and be out of it if they don't address them immediately. In particular on the defensive line, because there's just nobody to play. I mean, it's a terrible situation. But it'd be kind of like having a year where Lamar was injured and you're trying to make any other change really seems minimal. We haven't seen the Ravens go out and make a big move. So they didn't go after a Max Crosby. They didn't go after a big contract that they would take on and that would leave them somehow with a big burden of restructures to do. They didn't go out really and make any move that's going to put them in a bad position to re-sign their guys this winter. And they have a bunch of third-year graduates coming out that are ready to be signed for the first time. Travis Jones, Isaiah Likely, Tyler Linderbaum and others, who, you know, the Ravens have some divisible benefit on the table with these players that you get one chance to take advantage of. You don't get into the next season because all of a sudden their agents will tell them, don't sign, don't sign, don't sign. And, you know, then at the end of the year, they'll be playing it out and going to the high bidder. They really need to make best use of this time. They have one player I think they're going to end up parting ways with, you know, so they have basically they have some restructuring they can do internally and be able to sign their guys. What they don't have is they don't have a lot of money for any external signings this winter. Which really means they don't have enough for any external signings right now. But I think both Andrews and Williams are the two players that they'll cut to make a little bit of cap room. And they have a couple other things they can do in terms of extending players as well.
For sure. So I think any signings that we get this season are going to be sort of those moderate, low cost signings. And actually, you know, the market actually seems pretty reasonable on the defensive side, for instance, not saying that the Browns would necessarily trade him to us and certainly not for this, but I think there was a report on ESPN that said that, you know, for Za'Darius Smith, they would want a quote good day three pick, which I guess means a fourth rounder. And you know, I'm not even suggesting that that's necessarily what they ought to be doing, but it seems that the market is somewhat reasonable given that Za'Darius Smith has definitely some gas left in the tank.
Now let's talk about that for a minute, because you're a lawyer and you understand these signals in terms of negotiation, and maybe it's less true in criminal law than it is in civil law. But I've watched enough TV to know that saying you want a good day three pick means you don't need a fourth round pick. Because you just say, I need a fourth round pick. Let's make no bones about this. I want a day three pick, but I want a four. You know, there's no point in saying that. What it really means is they probably want a five and would settle for a six is how I read that signal.
Right. I think that is a fair assessment of it, for sure. So, but I think that even goes more to the fact that there are some quality players out there that the Ravens can acquire, I think, for a pretty reasonable cost. I don't think 11 draft picks are making this team. I remember one season fairly recently where the Ravens did draft some ridiculous number like that, and it just frustrated the hell out of me because, you know, it's just you're drafting guys that aren't making the team. So let's get what we can get to push this team over the top.
Well, it'll give them some currency on draft day to move up if they want to, too. It gives them some currency in draft way to reset if they want to do that. So if you have a fifth round pick and you don't really have a player you love, trade it for a four for next year.
Sure.
Or trade it for a, you know, an exchange of a four for a five for next year or something that'll move you up only slightly. So I think there are ways to still get value out of those picks. But I do like the idea of making a couple cheap moves now. Jadeveon Clowney is the defensive end move, the edge move that makes sense to me, because he signed for basically nothing for 2 years. And the Panthers would be eating most of that $20 million contract. The other guy who makes an incredible amount of sense for this team, and they should have him here now, if possible, is Calais Campbell.
I love that move so much.
Yeah, he's making nothing. He's a guy who's played an extraordinary number of snaps in his career in terms of workload. You can plug him in right away, and yeah, I think he'd be great. So
he gives you a little bit of everything, right? He's great against the run. He's an incredibly smart player, good communicator. I mean, I think he would really, and he's a guy that demands to be out there. So, you know, I think the Ravens would feel hard pressed to only activate, you know, four defensive linemen a game if he's out there and everybody else is healthy too.
Right. All right. We're going to talk about this tomorrow in much more detail on Friday Morning GM, talk about what targets there are really for the Ravens, but just a couple of guys who might help the Ravens get back. Now, I mean, just to wrap this up here, the 2019 rebuild was remarkable. What lessons can the Ravens take from it, and what can they really not apply?
So let me start with not apply, because I think the similarities, you know, are are there, but only to a limit. The 2019 Ravens found themselves through injury and through misjudging some of the players that they were going into the season with a fairly significant talent deficit. Up until this week, where we're now faced with a pretty significant talent deficit at defensive line with a bunch of guys being injured, I would not have said that we had much of a talent deficit on the Ravens defense. Many of the players are exactly the same as last year. You've added Nate Wiggins. He's played really well. Trenton Simpson seems to be a pretty good player for sure. I would say the issue more than anything else is a talent deficit at safety. But for the most part, you know, there aren't too many guys that you can look at and say, I don't expect anything out of this guy. Like Marcus Williams has vastly underperformed this season, but he should be playing a lot better than he is. So then the question goes to, is it coaching, right? Is it, you know, because Wink was solidified in his position. I don't think anybody, aside from maybe some philosophical, you know, you might like one defensive coordinator over another, I don't think anybody was wondering about whether the coaching staff was a real issue. Whereas this season with Zach Orr, with a very depleted coaching staff relative to last year, you know, you're only going to be able to do but so much. So I think talent is great, but you got to make sure that you have the coaching to get the most out of the talent.
Would love to have a different Project 2025 for the Ravens, where they're looking to go out and rebuild the entire succession planning stream they need to with position coaches. And it may be that they're guys who are a couple of years away may already be there. And that may include Zach Orr, honestly, in terms of you know, when he's ready to take a larger role. I certainly wouldn't want to lose Zach Orr, you know, but there's worse things than losing Zach Orr, unfortunately, and you have to avoid those even more. I'd for sure get a new secondary coach and get that figured out. Because whatever is going on in that room, whatever is happening with Eddie Jackson and Marcus Williams, who are veteran players and they don't know where the hell they're supposed to be, that's a problem. The linebacker coaching, or one of his real things that he was good at as a player was coverage guy. He was a third down guy you could have on for three downs. And I'm not sure how that's not translating as well to this group, but I think it probably has not. Would be a fair statement. Probably some of it is the safety play. That's really what it comes down to, is why there's such a big deficit between level two and level three, is they're not getting picked up. But it's a big problem, and they had a lot of great leaders they lost this offseason, and I think we're actually feeling the effects of it in a way that it's going to be much more difficult to recover in 2024 in the same way it was in 2019. Plus, I do kind of think 2019 was fairly miraculous in terms of how much result they got for so little.
For sure. And you know, you can't expect that that's going to happen every year, but I think the lesson maybe that you can sort of draw from 2019 is that, you know, defense, right? It's the ultimate team effort, right? You have to trust the guy behind you. You have to trust the guy to the left of you, to the right of you, right? And right now, I think it's pretty evident that the players on defense don't necessarily, you know, whether consciously or unconsciously, they don't feel that way. It seems like guys are pressing, right? This is why you're getting so many dropped interceptions. You know, everybody just sort of feels overextended. So if they are able to overhaul even just one position group, such as the safety group, right? I mean, one would think that if they can find a sort of a more suitable partner for Marcus Williams than Eddie Jackson, that's going to sort of relieve some of the pressing that I would imagine is happening with Marcus Williams. And if that gets stabilized, I think that makes Roquan Smith's job a lot easier. And that's already hopefully going to have a sort of a cascading positive effect.
Yeah. We certainly have to hope that is the case. And frankly, right now, the thing that has me, I'm worried about Lamar Jackson. I think he'll be back, but I'm concerned about that. I'm incredibly worried about who is actually going to play the defensive line on Sunday right now. And I do not see where the answer is. And they have another game coming up right after that, 4 days later. That's incredibly important at home against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, certainly it's a severe deficit at defensive line, as you and I talked about in the production meeting. They're probably going to have to sign one of the practice squad guys since you only have two elevations available to you. So they have Tupo, Wormley, and they just signed, or they've had Ravenel as well. Yeah. Tupo, who they just signed. But so you just need to get bodies in there. And so I can't imagine, with Matabike being the only fully healthy starter, even if a guy like, you know, Brent Urban is back, or even if, you know, Travis Jones is going to try to give it a go on that ankle, which, by the way, I'm not really sure is the answer. I mean, you might have him active, but try to play him minimally.
Totally opposed to having him active at all. He's too important to the Ravens remainder of the season. If he's not ready, if he's not truly ready to go, I want him sitting.
Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. I just don't, you know, you never know what kind of assessments the, you know, they're going to make it, you know, whether they're going to think, okay, come Friday that he's, you know, in good enough shape or something. I don't know. It doesn't look that way, cause I don't think he's practiced this week. But I agree with you, you know, you got to think long-term, particularly with a guy like Travis Jones. But in any event, so they have to activate, you know, sign a guy, elevate two others, and that just gets you to four with Matabike. That's it. You know, that's a tough situation.
You know, I hate four, but four is looking pretty sweet this week if they could somehow get to it. And they would, what they would do, I think, if they got to four, is you'd see a game where you had about, because it wouldn't be four they completely trust, obviously. If Wormley and a Tupo are in there, you know, those aren't four guys they trust as like they trust the big five. They get Urban back, he could probably play 40% of snaps. I mean, it could be a lot for him. It'll be the most he'd had in recent times, I would think. But going back to this a little bit, I would expect we're going to see something like 1.65 snaps per play of defensive linemen in this game. Every effort will be made to play more, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the Broncos do. Because if I'm the Broncos offensive coordinator, I'm saying, look, we're going to go as heavy as we possibly can and try and run the ball right down their throats. Because that's, even though the Ravens seem to have a great run defense statistically and a terrible pass defense, that's what's going to ruin them in this game, is if we start winning snap count and start being able to run the football.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, another big difference is that our offense in 2019 was much bigger help to the defense than our offense this year, right? We do have an incredible running offense this year for sure, but we have way more explosive plays, a lot more quick strike stuff, and all that's great. You know, that is you know where the NFL has been trending, and it's been trending for a reason. And I love this explosive offense, but you know, there is probably not an offense in the last 30 years that would have been as committed to sort of death by a thousand paper cuts, than the 2019 Ravens.
That's the best way to put it. I have heard it a long way, but they had four downs of football for four quarters per game is what they would take it. And it was a lot of, you know, 12, 14, 16 yards per series of downs, as opposed to, you know, getting 16 on one play like this Ravens team gets, and then, you know, having frustrations that may ensue after that. But always appreciate doing this show with you, Slava. I wish I was optimistic that this Ravens team is going to pull it together defensively. And I think you've kind of managed expectations correctly to have, you know, maybe a league average defense would be a big, big win for this team.
Huge.
Yeah. Well, Slava, tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Kuberstein. That's SLAVA KUPERSTEIN.
Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. Always looking for people to promote the show in some way they can, whether you want to write us a short review, 50 words and 5 stars on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to just even retweet a promo for the thing on Twitter, that's always appreciated. But thanks, folks, for listening. We appreciate all your loyalty. For Slava Cooperstein, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on One Last Thing.
AI of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.